cliffcentral.com. Ah, yes, here we are. It's the morning of Friday, the 29th of July. Pashida spent the night outside.
Yes, I did.
Yes, she did. Pashida was sleeping next to a brazier with whatever she could to keep her warm. She had to burn a person at the end of the night.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Just to keep the fire. Did your fire carry on?
No, it didn't. It died down to ashes.
And the coldest is 5 in the morning, right?
It was cold. It was so cold. At some point, I couldn't feel my leg. I was like, do I still have a leg? I literally couldn't feel my leg.
And let's remember, Pashida's Mozambican while her mom is, so she's used to warm weather, not cold. You don't know how to deal with this stuff, right?
Not cold.
But bubbly as ever.
Oh,
you wouldn't
sure.
say that she's
I wouldn't
just,
know. Yeah. If I had slept outside for the whole night last night, I would not be sounding like that. That I can promise you. All right. Loiso, what's up, dude?
Brian, thanks for doing good.
Cool, man. How's the Eastern Cape this morning?
Yeah, it's very cold, man. I'm angry. Hey.
Why?
I see people complaining about that CEO sleep out yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, why are people complaining about everything? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so glad you brought.
You are sitting in a broken couch, putting with an 800 mobile cell from there, criticizing people who are trying to help while you're doing nothing. Why are people on Twitter like that?
Sorry, you just said these are people. They're lying on a broken couch.
Yeah.
With a cheap cell phone, complaining about what other people are doing to help others. Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm still trying to get my head around this.
Right. Last night, by the way, was the CEO sleep out. I went and saw what they were up to on the bridge for a little bit because, of course, our own Brent Lindekew was broadcasting from there. Call us back, Loiso, if you can. I want to hear the rest of your point. There were 1,500 people on that bridge. They were all going to sleep in cardboard boxes. You know, they had, brought from home whatever they could to keep them warm in terms of like blankets and things. Everything on the bridge this morning is to be given away. Everything from racks and racks of clothes to huge amounts of tinned food, blankets, shelter. There's steel, there's wood, there's all kinds of things there that can be used now. They've raised 31 million rand already, which makes it the biggest charity drive in South African history, and there are people who don't like this. It just strikes me as very strange. So if we didn't have a CEO sleep out at all, that would somehow be better to these people. Cut out the 31 million rand that's about to go to ASHA, which by the way is for children, and not just any children, but this is for an early childhood development program in the townships. Kids who are usually, because both their parents or the only parent they have works all day, they're left in whatever circumstances they're in the township all day, unsupervised, with nothing to do. Is that a good idea? No. So ASHA, and I was talking to someone called Desiree from ASHA last night. ASHA, take all these kids from every township. They've got 60-something centers that they're running, which cost a huge amount of money to run, you can imagine. And they bring these kids in from the age of 2, and they give them the education that you would get at a very, very expensive pre-primary or nursery school. And they look after these children. Somehow that's a problem to some people, because a bunch of CEOs are only sleeping out one night and they're not really suffering, or they're not really curing the homeless problem.
But most of us go through 65 days of the year doing absolutely nothing for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. 365 days a year that we sit around on our hands. And especially these social justice warriors on Twitter. I mean, I don't see them lining up to raise 31 million rand. They can't even raise a barn. These are kind of people who can barely be asked to tweet with 140 characters where they spell properly, but they want to complain and criticize about everyone else. Well, go ahead, guys, but eventually we're going to stop listening to you, because unless you're building something as good, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. That's not too much to ask.
I try to get an understanding of what people were actually against, and I just saw one tweet saying, why aren't these guys building houses instead of sitting on a bridge? And I just thought, okay, well, if that's the level of reasoning, I'm not even going to bother.
Listen, let me tell you something. These people, the 1,500 CEOs or whatever it was that, you know, maybe they're out of them 500 CEOs. It doesn't matter because they each took along someone from the office who they wanted to experience it with them. So it would have been someone from accounting or someone who makes the tea or someone who builds the furniture. It's anyone from the office they wanted to spend the night with them. Now, let me tell you, to get an appointment with any of these CEOs, you have to wait weeks and weeks. Their calendars are chock full. They're busy people. They're busy making decisions. They're busy getting things done. Well, you get to spend 12 hours with the likes of them, David Makura, the premier of the province, Parks Tau, the mayor of Johannesburg, people who are in NGOs, people who are doing amazing things that would never get to these CEOs otherwise. You clearly are the kind of person who has never spent time around important people if you don't think that the adventure and experience, which is probably part of the reason that these CEOs are doing it, gives them a reason to spend 12 hours in one place where they're available to other people to talk to for a change.
The head, Gareth, because they all hang out in these social justice warrior echo chambers.
But the CEOs also hang around in boardrooms all the time, so none of us get to talk to them.
Yeah.
This was a place now where they could, first of all, talk to each other. They're thinking about the country. They're thinking about people who are less happy than they are, because you're cold, but you're thinking, my God, I don't spend more than one night here in a year, and these people around us in the city of Johannesburg are spending every night of the year in this cold. So suddenly they're conscientized to thinking about it. It's not just a big CEO party. There wasn't music and canapes and cappuccinos. These people, they're the best they could get was soup. And if they were lucky, they can get some coffee that you get in a tin.
Look, I think the guy who phoned in made a good point when he said, why do we like to complain about everything? And unfortunately, that's where it's gone to. We will literally complain about almost everything. Unless you can provide a better suggestion with your complaint, because your complaint doesn't really do anything, though, does it?
Exactly.
It doesn't add to anything.
Yes. Yeah, but it gives a voice to someone with nothing to say. People have this obsession with saying things nowadays.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No.
Can't reason with it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You
okay,
sure?
Fine. Okay, fine.
You sound so youthful.
Oh, gosh. It's too early in the morning for you.
But good for you, Loisa. I agree with you, dude. And you know what? 31 million rand. Don't think that you could just make that happen like that. There is no charity in the history of this country that's been able to raise that in one day. No one. You know how that's going to help Asher? Desiree is telling me how much it costs. They've got to train up these preschool teachers who are usually also, by the way, unemployed women who live in the townships they establish the centers in, who ordinarily would have to look after these kids with no resources. Now they at least get a center, they get resources, they get food for the kids, they get equipment for the schools, they get to teach the kids properly. I mean, we're giving a generation that would otherwise be forgotten a head start. A head start their parents probably didn't get. So if you're going to complain about this, then here's my challenge to you. For every word of complaint that comes out of your mouth, you've got to do at least 3.1 million rand, and you have 10 words to get to 31 million rand. And if you use up all 10 words and you haven't made the 31 million rand, you know you've got to shut up from there on. People complaining about how other people raise money. You know, it's like when foreign aid goes to a country like Afghanistan and people complain, oh, well, it's not being spent here and here. It should really be. Why don't they do this? And why don't they spend it there? Someone is giving that money. Who the fuck are you in the middle of it all to be deciding where it should go? Who gave you this idea that your opinion mattered so much?
Twitter.
They lied to you. Whoever it was, they lied to you. Your opinion is not important. All right, enough about that. We have so much to do today. Justice Malala will be in at 7 o'clock with the Burning Platform pre-election edition of that, which is going to be very exciting. We're going to speak to a guy called Nick Herbert, who I know Ben is excited to talk to. He has published a book called 1,000 Reasons to Love Golf. So I made it to page 4, but Ben will know all of these things.
Give me one of those reasons there. Just one.
Okay, let's open up on something you bookmarked there.
No, I didn't bookmark anything. Jack Nicklaus's book, hashtag Golf My Way, is reason number 266. Maybe that's not the best. Being hit by a golf ball anywhere, hashtag shot for next time.
I've been hit by a ball twice.
Where? In your head?
My lower back, which literally knocked me over. I had a bruise like a tennis ball for 3 weeks. And then the second time, I was unfortunately on the head of my penis. And it was very sore and funny.
You got hit on the head of your penis?
My brother shanked the golf ball, and it literally went nowhere else other than the middle area of my body.
You got hit on the head of your penis?
The thing is, it was so sore, but at the same time, it was so funny. So it was just 5 hours of laughing, really, after that.
Is that more or less painful than being hit in the testicles?
Well, thankfully, the head of my penis actually saved it from going on the testicles. If it went to the testicles, then it would have been
doubled over. You probably would have vomited on the spot.
I can't get over how sore it would have actually been. So yeah, in a way, I was lucky.
Wow.
Lucky in both cases, because a centimeter either way could have meant I was either paralyzed or ballless.
Ballless.
I had a rough life, huh?
You know, I must stop being like this to you. What? You've been shot, you've been hit with a golf ball in the head of your penis. You're like the toughest guy I know, literally.
The original thug.
I really need to give you more props, Ben. I'm sorry.
And I'm going through this braces.
Oh, shame. Ben was at the... We had a beautiful sympathy sleep out last night, which is where Peshitta was. We probably had altogether, there must have been about 100 people there. I mean, easily, right?
There were a lot of people. We were expecting at least 150.
We did it at Summer Place, which is usually a place where you've got weddings and excitement. And last night it looked like a scene from The Walking Dead, because you had people gathered around fires.
Yes.
All dressed like homeless people, because they were trying to put on as many layers as they could.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. I mean, there were so many people around. And it was nice. There was a good feeling.
It was a good vibe. And you built the biggest fire ever that started burning everyone. You're like, Garo's fire, Garo's fire.
Oh, when I left, did it get bigger?
I don't know, because after you left, I was just trying to find a spot so I can sleep.
Did you go to sleep straight away after I left?
Yeah, I went to sleep straight away.
Where did you end up? Who did you end up with, a neighbor?
I had Kate and Renette from the Unbranded.
Okay.
So I was sleeping next to her, and next to the Asher lady from the...
Oh, Desiree,
yes.
Okay.
We got to chat a little bit.
Good. She's incredible, huh?
Oh, she's so amazing. The stories she was telling me. Oh.
Yeah, there's some very good people in the world. I am not one of them. I wish I was one of those good people, because...
You're good in your own way, Gareth.
Look, every little bit that all of us do, you're going to meet someone who just does so much more, and it puts everything into perspective. And you always think, maybe I should be doing more too.
Exactly.
But they're special people, these ones who can donate so much of their time to everyone else. Okay, Lee says, I'm listening to the Cliff Central app. How will I ever survive the day? No sound on the app. Thankfully, hashtag this weekend, it's the weekend, baby. So is there no sound on your... Lee, you got to use the volume buttons on your phone. I hope you know that. By the way, we will be making a very big announcement today.
This is a very big...
It's a tremendously big announcement. It's going to be huge. I'll tell you about that. It's somewhere around 10:30, 11-ish this morning. You'll see it on social media. Don't you panic. We're going to let you in first. But that's going to be a tremendously big announcement.
Oh, gosh.
And all the cricket people will shake in their feet in their shoes. All right. We also got Tresor popping in. Lots to talk about. Let's get into one or two news stories before we have to go to Ben. Mubs, it is time for a little bit, because we'll have a little bit of time with Justice later to go over some of the detail.
Yeah.
But here it is. Mabali Moloi with a little bit of news.
La 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 la.
All right.
Okay, more details have been coming out of the Marissa Christopher situation. Marissa Christopher, of course, the alleged girlfriend to Radovan Krejcer.
Oh.
She was arrested over the weekend on suspicion of having tried to help Krejcer escape from prison.
Uh-huh.
And so the state argued yesterday that Christopher was going to facilitate payments to prison officials and a group of rifle-wielding gunmen to storm the prison and allow Krejcer to escape.
Wow, that's ballsy. They were actually going to storm the prison.
Well, that was
gangsters, hey?
That was the plan that the state put forward yesterday. However, while the plot was initially planned to take place in March, an undercover police unit where officers posed as the guns for hire foiled the escape plan. Five of the suspects, including Christopher, have been arrested.
Sure. Good. Now she can go to jail too and be with her lover.
Well, her lawyer, Pete Duplessis, decided to put his client on the stand yesterday in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court. And I don't know why he did this, but he got her to, like, open up, you know, with some of her personal stories. So her and Radovan apparently started dating back in 2010. This is now according to the statements that she gave. She gave birth to his child in 2014, several months after his initial arrest in 2013. She said that she'd continue to visit him during his incarceration. But then the lead investigator informed her that her brother's ex-girlfriend had also been having a sexual relationship with Radovan.
Oh.
And that is when she said that she brought the relationship to a hold. She said that she left. They broke up in April.
What trash are these people? Who had a relationship with who?
Marissa's brother's ex-girlfriend apparently was also having a sexual relationship with Radovan at the same time that she was.
Ugh.
It's all just a little bit too close to home.
Ugh.
So those were some of the details that were revealed in court yesterday. Yeah.
That's horrendous. A
bail judgment will be given on August the 4th, so that's next week.
These people.
Then, Kenny Kunene, I guess, was, you know, he was feeling particularly controversial yesterday, so he decided to put up a, you know, to post a picture from a painter that he's recently acquired. You know, initially people assumed that the painting was done by Ayanda Mabulu, who, you know, depicted the president licking the backside of the Guptas, right?
Right.
Everybody had something to say about that painting.
Right.
A lot of people were questioning, but is this art? It's just crass.
So because he's so original, Kenny decided to commission a painting.
Yeah,
but by a not-so-great artist, but the painting is there nonetheless, and I suppose it's deserved. So this painting has Helen Ziller with her legs spread wide, like a gratuitous beaver shot.
Yes. It's also got the DA Shadow Minister of Correctional Services, James Self, in there. He's also got his private parts exposed. It also portrays DA leader Musi Maimane as a slave who's basically pulling Helen and...
on a rickshaw, yeah.
And James Self, yes, in a cart. So, the painting has got the words modern slavery written across the cart.
You know, you've got to ask what kind of attitude... Look, I know this is art, so let's not look into it too much. But there are all these people in the ANC who just... they hate Musi Maimane. They reserve a special place in hell for Musi Maimane, right? And they keep saying he's the white man's stooge and all of that stuff.
They did it with Lindiwe as well. And
they did it with Julius too when he started the EFF. Now they've had to shut up because they can see he's got political support from, you know, ordinary people. But, you know, anyone who's not in the ANC must be a slave, which tells you how they feel about independent thinking black people. Like, they just don't like the fact that you don't have a hive brain inside the ANC. They do not like that at all. Now, I know this is a work of art, but this is Kenny Kunene who probably told them how to paint it and what he wanted in there. I mean, you know he would have done that, right?
Look, he was looking to start something, obviously.
And I get that.
When he put up that tweet.
Let's see how many people threatened to burn down the gallery that this... it won't make it to a gallery. Let's see how many people threatened to destroy this painting. None. Nobody will. Because there's a tolerance and an understanding for art and for... free expression, and for outrageousness. But every time that there's the painting of the president, someone goes, oh, this is deeply disrespectful.
Well, look, there were some people yesterday who found an issue with this painting.
Yeah, but they're not going to go and threaten violence or threaten to destroy it or burn down the gallery or spray paint it with anything. Remember how that happened with the spear?
Oh, yeah, that was the first time around, hey?
Right. So let's see how much violence comes because of this painting. None is my prediction. All right, anything else?
No, I mean, it's already 6:30, so it looks like we need to keep it moving.
Do you see, Mubs? You keep me on time.
Oh, just that the lotto winner apparently was discovered yesterday.
Okay, stop the clock because we got
to
talk about
this. Went in to claim
his
winnings. In fact, it was Ben who told me actually this morning.
Yeah, well, it was me.
Yeah, and you predicted that person who's got the lotto ticket is probably a murderer who killed the real lotto ticket owner, which is why we only found out now.
Yeah, so we'll try to get some more details over the weekend about this person.
Are you standing by your story that you think it's probably a dodgy person?
Yeah, well, you know, Gareth, being society being what it is.
All right, Ben, let's get into the sport.
If you've got the ticket and you spent 20 Rand, that means you're keen on the ticket, right? If it was a 5 Rand quick pick, whatever, you're not too bothered. 20 Rand means you care.
Yeah.
And you would have watched, and you would have waited, and you would have read stuff.
That's true.
Come through now. No one's... Nah.
You think they sat and waited for a whole, what, week? Just about 5 days?
No.
All right, let's get into sport. Here's what you need to know this morning.
7 days, the magical 7 days until the Olympics. Here we go. And some people might say, you know, Ben, I didn't care about the Olympics. Well, I do. And I think everyone should because it's a whole bunch of really good stories. Like Team Refugee, right? Well, I'm sure these guys are tired of being called refugees. Let's go with Team Refugee.
Oh, okay. Team Refugee.
Oh, gosh, okay.
So there are refugees who are going to the Olympics, okay? So just when you think for that moment, oh, I don't care about the Olympics, people who have no hope in life, absolutely zero, zilch, nothing, they have the Olympics to go to, okay? So there's a team of 10 people, some Syrians and some South Sudanese people, and they are getting the chance to go to the Olympics and to do what they love and to do something that's going to give them a hell of a lot of integrity and purpose. And so one of the stories that's come out is that there was two sisters fleeing from Syria, right? They were on the way to Greece, and their boat, as all those boats, they were heavily laden with too many people. It sank. And we all know the horrible story of how some people died, some people got washed up. These two young girls, they swam to shore. One of them now, Yusra Mardini, is swimming at the Olympics. She will actually be taking place as a swimmer at the Olympics. How's that for training, though? You got to swim for your life. So just when you think that the Olympics is all about Russian dopers and American money and Zika and golfers who don't care, There's a lot more to it. There's so many great backstories, which we'll no doubt be able to get more into as the game starts and progress. So it is quite something. Look out for Team Refugee. That's my big story for you there.
Before you carry on with the sport, Ben, I just want to go to Tato quickly, who's on the bridge. Hey, Tato, how's it, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Cool. Are you on the bridge? Did you sleep there last night?
Yes, I did.
How did it go?
It went great, actually. Well, I didn't get my sleeping done, but it went great.
Okay, who are you sitting with? Anyone important? Come on, which CEOs?
Okay, I was sitting with, most of the night, I was actually sitting with Ali Gray and her crew.
Okay.
Yeah, so
she's the organizer.
Oh, and what's his name? Kent.
Kent?
Wait, no, Brent. Brent. Oh, Brent is his name, yes. From, yeah.
All right, Brent. Was he there until late? I mean, how did it go?
Yeah, he just left, like, I think 30 minutes ago.
Okay, wow. Awesome. Now, he's going to come in here smelling of smoke. Are you all smelling of smoke because you've been sitting around braziers all night?
Kind of.
Yeah. And what did you eat?
Okay, so... Oh, I ate soup and bread that they provided. It was really good.
All right, and I mean, it was a nice feeling, right? Everybody kind of gathered together and talking about the country and about all the things that are going on and, you know, how heart must feel to be like that every night of the year. And I mean, it's a very genuine thing, even though a lot of people have been saying it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it was very eye-opening.
I think so. All right, Dato, why were you there?
Pardon?
Are you a CEO?
No, I'm actually a scholar representative for the star.
Oh, very nice. All right, dude. Well, we're very pleased you could be a part of it. Did you hear 31 million Rand raised?
Yes, I did.
Amazing. Bye. Amazing. All right, dude. Yeah. What time do you guys get out of there?
We're actually leaving right now. All right. That's actually why I'm calling.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. Yeah, okay, what did you want to say?
I spoke to people, and everyone said I should ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw you yesterday, and I couldn't hijack you.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing a little documentary for school, so I was wondering if I could come in right now, and then, like, when you're done with the show.
No, come now, because you'll have to do it during the show, so just come straight away.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll just get with it now.
All right, then. Good man. We'll see you.
Okay, cool.
We'll see you just now, Toto. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Okay, man. Bye-bye. There we go. Ben, back to you in the sport.
Yeah, so that's your big Olympic story today. There's a couple other interesting tidbits. That the USA, medal-wise, right, have won more medals than the next two nations put together. They have won a staggering 2,404 medals. The Soviet Union, unified team, Russia, call you what you want, well, they've won 1,123. They're not going to add too much onto that?
Sure.
Third, who do you reckon is the third biggest Olympic winner?
China.
In nope.
America.
America's the first one, Gareth.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Germany? America, Russia.
Great Britain. You got to remember, because they go back to the days, right? And Britain owned the world for quite some time. So they had lots of athletes. China is actually not even in the top 10.
Really?
Interessant, eh? Oh, wait, sorry. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're 10th.
Okay, they're 10th.
Yeah, they're 10th. East Germany is still high up there at 11th, even though they haven't been a country for so long. They had 409 medals, and a lot of them did a lot of drugs.
They were the first ones to experiment with drugs.
They were a lot of drugs. So I just look at a chart like this.
Burly
and think,
women.
If there was drug testing involved, where would this list actually really be? Right, so we've got a big weekend of rugby. I've been saying this all week. If you still haven't got tickets to go watch the Lions and you are in the area, well, shame on you. But you can redeem yourself. Go on to lionsrugby.co.za. These guys need your support. They have been sucking the hind teat of SA Rugby for 3-4 years. They've finally got to a place of prominence, so you can't be sitting on your ass this weekend at home. Get down to Ellis Park. It's during the daytime, so you won't be at Hillbrow at night.
Yeah.
These are all very, very key elements. They've also just lost their inspirational captain, Warren Whiteley. Now, he managed to push through from a shoulder injury, but now he's damaged the leg. So they need all the support they can get. So if you're in the Joburg area, if you're in the greater Gauteng area, make a day of it. The game starts at 3 o'clock, and the tickets won't be overly expensive, I promise.
Okay.
Lions versus Highlanders at 3 o'clock. The Highlanders are the defending champions. They're a plucky bunch with an incredible backline. They really had just one of the sexiest, most incredible, dominant, dynamic backlines you could possibly think of. So if the Lions can win up front in the forward battle, which I think they will, and they've got a pretty handy backline themselves. So we're in for an absolute mouth-watering encounter. 3 o'clock tomorrow. The first game will be the Hurricanes versus the Chiefs. Now, the Hurricanes have this real late surge in the season.
Uh-huh.
They were kind of looking like they were going to maybe finish 6th or 7th or 8th because of the whole Super Conference system. But then they had, they just won, I think, 5 in a row to get to the final stage. Other teams faltered. And hey, before you know it, they got top of the log. So they have the Chiefs at home now. Which is, well, they've got more time to prepare because the Chiefs had to play the Stormers in Cape Town. And they were the finalists last year after a pretty amazing season. They just fell in the final hurdle. Interesting stat, though. They have lost all 6 of their playoff games versus New Zealand teams in Super Rugby. So they can dish it out against the lesser teams from SA and Australia. But when it comes to playing their own, not so flash in the playoffs. So we all know if the Chiefs win on Saturday and the Lions win on Saturday, it is a Lions final right here in Johannesburg. So bring that on.
That'll be nice.
That'll be a great result because we've got nothing to cheer about sport-wise this year. We really haven't.
Right.
When it comes to 2016 and the great moments, not many. Not many indeed, Gareth. So I'm really pulling for that one. Hurricanes versus Chiefs, 9:35. Start your day off strong tomorrow. Into cricket news, well, who would have thought it? Sri Lanka have come bouncing back in the test against Australia. Now, Sri Lanka are mostly just full of kids and guys who didn't quite kick on in their careers, never got decent IPL contracts, and, you know, were living in the shadows of Sangakkara and Jai Wardner. Uh-huh. But they've somehow managed to suddenly bend Australia over in this one.
Oh.
They were bowled out for 117 in the first day, which was just dreadful. Australia, not much better, 203. Then Sri Lanka were in all sorts of bother again. But then, Kusai Mendes, no one's ever heard of him.
No.
Mm-mm. He's very much a person without pedigree, they would say in the sporting term. Kusai Mendes, 169 not out. Yep, putting the Aussies to the sword. Sri Lanka are sadly 282 for 6. They lead by 196 runs with 4 wickets remaining as they start day four. Day four. Day four will start in a few minutes. So there's an intriguing test match on the go there. It really will be quite something of the weekend because they're on a spinning track at Palakele. So if Australia set any sort of target whatsoever, Harith was in good form. They've got this new lefty as well. So if you don't like the rugby, you don't like the Olympics, all that kind of stuff, you can still watch good test match cricket. The Western... New Zealand are playing Zimbabwe as well. It'll be a lot more one-sided.
Did you say if you like a lefty? What are you talking about? Left arm spinner.
Yeah, left arm spinner.
Got you.
Left arm orthodox. On to the final story for the weekend, Gareth. It is the PGA Championship. Now, we're all very excited about this one. I saw my buddy, when she saw that there was going to be a PGA Championship this weekend, plus the golf interview later.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think she's looking so fresh and clean?
Because I usually look
today.
How, Ben? See, I'm taking back that fat compliment that I paid you.
And working like.
Okay, so she's excited about golf. But why don't you tell those of us who are also excited about golf what's going on in the PGA Championship today?
Okay, so Rory McIlroy, right? I made the massive mistake throughout this week saying he's going to be a favorite.
Yeah.
I forgot that I jinxed people.
Uh-oh.
Rory could not buy a putt yesterday. He was bloody useless. He was 4 over par.
Oh, no, Ben.
Walking around like his girlfriend just dumped him. He had a face like a smacked ass, and it just did not look good for him. 4 over. He's just having a crap year. Somehow this guy, he's the number one ranked European player on the Ryder Cup rankings, but he's having an absolute mare of a season. He's so talented. He's so gifted. He's so incredible. But yeah, 4 over. That makes him 9 shots behind the leader, Gareth, which is Jimmy Walker. Now, Jimmy Walker, he hasn't been able to hit a cow's ass with a banjo all year. The guy's rounds in the majors have been dreadful. But here he comes with his new beard. He's 5 under, the leader at Baltus Roll. Then we've got Martin Keimer, Emiliano Grillo, and Ross Fisher. These aren't exactly guys who have been dominating at all this year. Martin Keimer's a former number one. He's won this event, and he's won the US Open before, so he's a big deal. But then he tried to hit a draw, and his game went to shit. But then Henrik Stenson provides some sort of respectability around the form. So he's got a 3 under 67. He's just 2 back. From a South African perspective, Louis Oosthuizen is the best player. He's on -2. And there's a group that also involves Ricky Fowler at -2, Brooks Koepka. There was a guy who I was very much into backing for this week if it wasn't for his injury layoff. But he's looking solid, 2 under. And Jason Day, out of all the big favorites, here is a guy who's doing really, really well. So he's just 2 under. He played with McIlroy yesterday, who was chopping it everywhere. And Phil Mickelson, he also played in that group, doing slightly less crap, but he's also over par. He's 1 over par. So we've got a massive open leaderboard. We've got a course that's not yielding too many birdies, and it is such a beautiful layout. It's just trees, old money's charm. There's a clubhouse with 5 chimneys. It's just an amazing spectacle. It really is. So South African guys aren't looking too flash, but I must actually commend Johan Kok. Remember you mentioned him yesterday?
Yes, of course, the guy from Nelspruit.
Currently tied 81st on +2. Very respectable from the club pro from Nelspruit. He's 2 better than Rory McIlroy. Take that. Yeah, so, I mean, look, other surfing guys. George Gussie's also +2. Charles Wassel's +3. Ernie's +3. Brennan Grace, I think, was level. So, yeah, too early to say. Justin Rose also level. And Adam Scott's also level.
Okay.
Jimmy Walker, he's the guy to chase. He will fall away, though. It all depends on what Jason Day has got to do. He had no prep for this tournament. He really came in without having any practice rounds or a look. His wife was very ill. It's either his wife's ill or he's ill. These people are always ill.
And if they're going to Brazil, they'll be even more ill.
Well, he's not going to Brazil. He doesn't want to. He wants kids.
No, there's hardly any golfers going to Brazil.
Well, it'd be kind of funny if a guy who wins this week is a guy who's going to Brazil. Because you know these guys prioritize the majors so much, and they're like, oh, schedule, we can't do it.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting to see if one of the winners here, or the winner, will be an Olympian. Gareth, that is it for your sport. We've got just really great test cricket. We've got the rugby.
All right, fantastic.
And we've got the golf.
Very, very good.
And the golf's on the east coast of America, so you can catch action from pretty early.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ben. That's a look at your sport. You know what comes after that in the morning. It's Anthea Gardner with a look at the money. And Flax, you spent the night at Anthea Gardner's office, right?
Oh, what a night. Their offices are unbelievable. If you take billions...
I wondered where you were while we were standing around a fire and we were trying to warm our hands all together with coffee that had gone a little bit cold. Hey, Pashida, where was Flax?
He says
there was a bar. I heard there was
you had a
bar.
He was at a bar with mushroom heaters.
No, guys, their offices are amazing. If you take Suits and mix it with Billions and throw in a helipad with a putt-putt course on the roof, that is what our offices look like.
Yeah, you're strengthening your cause here, Michael.
Just
so,
unbelievable.
So did you, you took Liz, right?
Yeah, we went to Anthea. They gave us food.
Yeah.
We mingled with the crowd. They're all so nice there. Everyone just, yeah. Everyone was friends there. Everyone's friendly.
Oh, wow.
Very nice office environment.
So not at all like the homeless.
No, I mean, the food wasn't great.
Oh,
careful, because Anthea's on the line. She's ready to take you on, all right? Let's get into it. Here she is. Anthea Gardner, everybody, with a look at your money.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Anthea, can you believe what a smack in the face it is when you invite someone to partake in an event at your premises and then they say, oh, the food wasn't so great?
He's lucky he got any food at all, quite frankly.
Correct. Exactly.
What is that, Michael Flax?
Yeah.
They actually did something that was really cool. So to raise money for charity, they worked on a ticket system.
Yeah.
So they pre-bought tickets, and if you wanted a drink or you wanted food, you'd give in a ticket. And what I heard was they raised a lot of money for charity last night.
Very good.
What is the final numbers, Anthea?
I don't know. I think it was over 30,000 rands worth of donations for the creches. And then I don't think Tam has calculated the ticket sales yet. So,
well, that's incredible. Well done to you guys.
Admittedly, it wasn't a very somber affair. I mean, when this team gets together, they are quite jolly.
But it doesn't have to be, you know. It's meant to also be something that people who wouldn't normally do this kind of thing participate in. Just to give them an idea of what it's like. But they can also be with people outside of their normal office sort of space. I think it's great.
And some good conversations were had, actually. So
I'm sure.
Definitely raising awareness.
All right. So as long as Flax didn't misbehave, we can move right on to the markets.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the market wasn't so good yesterday. It was down about 1%. Kind of just a slow bleed through the day. Although the resources index managed a positive close. It was up just over 0.5%. Anglo American reported pretty decent set of results. The share was up 5% yesterday.
Right.
Probably the most important announcement out of the release is that they're now cash generative. And so, in other words, they're not being forced to do a fire sale of their assets. I don't know if you remember last year, they sold the niobium business in North America for $1.5 billion. And we all thought they were only going to reach $1 billion. So, you know, they've definitely still got staying power. Unfortunately, the rand was weaker yesterday, although I see this morning it's quite strong, trading 14.11 to the dollar.
Yeah.
It was weaker yesterday, though, because we got our second quarter unemployment numbers came out. So our unemployment rate in South Africa is now 26.6%, slightly lower than the previous quarter, not much. 5.6 million people without a job. And that's kind of the very narrow definition of unemployment. If you take the expanded definition, it's actually 36.4%. I mean, these numbers are just anxiety-inducing, actually.
Oh, wow.
There's no way you can grow an economy with so many people out of work, not paying tax. And, of course, don't forget, the employed people are having to support the unemployed people. So it's not just that people are not working. It's that people who are working having to support them.
And not only that, but then we've also got the bureaucracy that forms a part of that. And government jobs don't make money. They cost money.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very scary. And then I have to tell you something. But we spoke about SAB Miller yesterday, and I was saying that I was going to sell my shares. And between the time we spoke at 7 and the market opened at 9, I'd actually changed my mind. So the share traded below 800 rand in the morning. And actually, at that level, I was almost tempted to buy some because if you really have to quantify it, I think there's probably only a 15% chance the deal won't go through.
Oh, so it's very small.
Exactly. And so chances are that the share will rally again. So I've held on to mine, haven't sold them. Just I thought I should let you know.
Well, that's good. So yesterday you had a lot of us thinking we should do the same as you, but you didn't end up doing it. You changed your mind.
Which is exactly why kind of we need this portfolio, because the decisions I make, you know, I have to be able to change my mind. And I worry when I give you advice in the morning and then 2 hours later, I've changed my mind.
By the way, we are still very much working on this this portfolio that Anthea will manage, where we will have fractional share ownership. And you could decide to put in $100. You could decide to put in 10,000 Rand, 100,000 Rand, whatever it might be. The more the merrier, because we all get to play in the market that we're talking about every day.
Yeah. And then in the U.S. tech stocks are having an incredible year. Alphabet reported yesterday. The share was up 4%. And then their sales, their net sales for the quarter was $30.4 billion. I mean, staggering figures. Most of it driven by the cloud services unit. So this is very original name. It's called, now I'm getting my companies mixed up, aren't I? I'm thinking about Amazon, sorry.
Oh, yeah, my apologies. Google's cloud is called Google Cloud.
Yes, there you go. But Amazon has web services as well.
Yes.
And they also reported that the share was up 2% last night, which made Jeff Bezos the third richest person in the world, now ahead of Buffett and just behind Gates and Ortega. Well, not just behind.
Nice.
Yeah. So Bezos is now worth $65.3 billion.
Unreal.
It's incredible. Really good story there. And then Asia's a bit weaker this morning. Bank of Japan decided not to change their interest rates, although they did say they were going to ease monetary policy by buying exchange-traded funds. And I think the market was really looking for a bit more and looking for a change in the interest rate policy, but they didn't get it. So.
And then that's it. Roscoe's just sent me a message. This is quite interesting. Do you know how much was traded on the Zimbabwean Stock Exchange yesterday?
No, please tell me.
$104 for the whole day.
No, you're joking.
Sorry, that was for the day on Monday. Sorry, not yesterday. Monday, $104. That's compared to the $1.4 billion traded on the JSE on the same day.
Wow. That's sad.
Zimbabwe is such a success story. Let's just remind everybody of how great that country is and how well it's been administered. Let's all take a moment to think about that. $104 total for the whole day on Monday, $1.4 billion on the JSE. Let's figure out the difference. The difference is quite huge.
It's almost not worth doing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but that's the number that Roscoe just sent us now.
Oh, wow. I wonder how many stocks are actually still listed on the exchange. Can't be that. There's a Zimbabwean Stock Exchange, it's called.
I can't imagine too many. Well, let's talk about that on Monday, maybe.
All right. Let's do that. I'll have a quick look.
All right, Anthea.
Oh, wow.
Thank
there are actually quite a few.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just looked at it now. I don't know many of them. African Distillers, Axia, Barclays of Zimbabwe is listed. Very odd. We'll talk about it on Monday. I'll have a look.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much. Anthea Gardner, a look at the markets this morning in the Money Shot. It is just before 7 o'clock. We're looking after you today. Brent Lindekew's on his way in from the CEO Sleepout. And really, one of the most incredible charity fundraising events. Forget about all of the sleeping on the bridge or anything else. 31 million Rand raised in one night. I think that deserves a huge amount of cred. So if you don't know anything about that, Brent will be in here to tell us what the experience was like in a moment.
So Gareth, you were at the bridge last night.
Yeah.
Talk me through what was there. I heard there was live acts. Was that rumor?
No, there was a surprise performance apparently. I just saw this on Twitter this morning by Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who probably sang Homeless, 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 Moonlight Sleeping on a Midnight Train. Right? So that was probably what happened, although you don't know how much of that was organized beforehand. But basically, there were boxes, cardboard boxes. Mm. There were bits of sheet metal that were made into like little kiosks where they sold soup, but you had to buy the soup. Where they sold wood, you had to buy the wood.
I heard you weren't allowed to buy it with money. You had to trade something in.
Yeah,
I think
so.
You had to give a donation.
Right, something like that. But I think you could buy like wood and food. But then there was also a huge, right the way across the bridge. Imagine from one side of Nelson Mandela Bridge to the other, racks and racks and racks of clothes that were being donated that homeless people now from all over Johannesburg are going onto the bridge to take, to get to help themselves to. Let's get Brent Linda Q in here while we're talking about the CEO sleep out. In a short while, Justice Malala will be in to tell us about the elections, which are only 6 days away. Yes. 6 days to the elections. In fact, 5 days to the elections. Sorry, my maths has let me down again.
Oh, well, we're used to it.
Surprise, surprise. So the elections are right around the corner.
Just take Olympics minus two. That's your Olympics. 5 days. That's your elections equation.
Okay. Thanks, Ben. All right, look who's here. It's Brent Linda Q. This is very exciting. He's just got back from the bridge, and last night was a hell of a busy night for him. He did 2 hours live from the bridge, and here he is, Brent Linda Q. What do you have for us, my friend?
Good morning.
Is it a good morning?
Jeepers, I'm on a flippin' high, like properly.
Tell me.
I haven't slept. I spent the whole night speaking to the most phenomenal human beings that just want to better the country.
How much money?
Lots and lots.
No, but I mean 31 million rand raised.
More, Gareth. So,
how much more?
So it was 31 million raised by the CEOs being on the bridge.
Yeah.
And then what wasn't taken into calculation is everything else. So they had the SMS line, they had the sympathy sleep out, they had the school sleep out. So that number will come in the next couple of days. I'm sure that they reached more than 40 million.
Wow.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wow.
At all.
All right, so who did you meet? Who were you seeing?
Jeepers. Adam Kraker from IQ Business.
Right.
Doing amazing things and just really wanting to do incredible things within his corporation and for the country.
And they are major investors in the CBD, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're transforming the CBD of Johannesburg, which has really turned around.
Yeah. I don't want to get my head's a little bit moggy.
Sure,
so I don't want to get the names
slept, did
Fed,
you?
Fed Group, no, I didn't sleep at all. Flight Center, I met with the beneficiaries who, just the stuff they're going to do with this money is, it's fucking incredible. Like, there's no other way to put it. I've spent the whole night with like-minded people who just want to do good in South Africa. And in the beginning of the night, there was all this controversy and Twitter was going crazy. Black Twitter had a field day. They got stuck in there and they were all sort of tearing this event apart. And something amazing happened at about midnight.
Yeah.
Black Twitter started tearing themselves apart, and
we
were all watching this whole thing unfold, where everybody was going, "How can you negate the fact that they've raised so much money, and how can you not look at everything else that they're doing and all these things that they're putting into place and what will come from this?" I left the bridge for about 2 hours.
Where did you go? We went to visit the sympathy sleepouts.
Yeah, so we went to 6 different places. The first was a school in the inner city where, these kids, they're beneficiaries. So when you did the sympathy sleepout, you had to choose a charity that you would give back to.
Uh-huh.
And this school, these kids don't have much. It's an inner city school that's quite poor. And like even the kids, they were saying, we're giving, their beneficiary was Chalk. And they were like, we sorted out toiletries and I don't even have toothpaste, but we're giving them toothpaste because that's what we need to do, is we need to be giving back to other people. And then you realize what Ubuntu is and what being human is and the realness of South Africa. We then went to the second place, which I cried when I was there. A student had put together a sleep out for the homeless community in Johannesburg. Full soup kitchen, clothing, blankets, sleeping bags, really looked after them. There were 500 people, homeless people that were there. And there was a guy with his son that, like, the Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith.
Yeah.
A dad and his little 7-year-old son who live on the streets every day. Like, that's the state of the nation. That's the reality of South Africa. And then when we got back to the bridge, we went to a couple of corporates as well, and that was very inspiring to see all these people getting involved.
But that father and son aren't on Twitter, so no one will know that they exist, so no one will have to care.
You know, and it's so easy to be an armchair activist or a slacktivist and to sit there and tear this event apart. But take that 40 million rand away that they're going to raise and remove the CEO sleep out as an initiative. Take it for what it is. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, correct.
Take all of that away, and next year the only losers would be the charities. So well done to the armchair activists. I give you a high five for breaking something that really made...
Well, they didn't break it.
No, they didn't. Tried. At all. Tokyo Sekhwale...
Tried and failed like they're doing everything else they do in their life.
Tokyo Sekhwale... Sekhwale. He arrived at the CEO sleepout at 5 o'clock this morning. He was very angry with everybody at the sleepout.
Why?
Apparently, he didn't get the invite. He didn't know it was happening. So he first he stood up and then that was the first thing he said, is that he's quite angry that he didn't know about this. Okay. And because he slept in Dipslut a couple of years ago, that was
He actually went and lived, and he also got huge amounts of shit for that too.
He did.
People complained about him, and they're like, oh, what a token thing by a rich man to go and spend a night in a shack. But it was also during election campaigning.
As you do.
And you know what? It's symbolic. That's all.
It's symbolic. He stood up and he went, there's three types of people in the world. Those that do nothing, those that criticize everything, and the leaders that actually action change. And I was like, here, here. And everybody, the crowd went wild. And then he was like, and...
You can see why he's a good politician, huh?
And because he wasn't invited to this year, and he really wants to be a part of it, next year he will be heading up the CEO sleepout.
Oh, wow.
With Ali Gregg, and he'll be sort of the main guy, and he's going to fund it himself for it to be done at Robben Island.
Oh,
so the sleepout will take place at Robben Island next year.
That's amazing.
It's just cool. It's really like, and it's the amount of change. Like I said, I spent the whole, so I got back to the bridge and there were a couple of CEOs that were snoring. Like they were in it, they were sleeping.
Uh-huh.
But majority of them weren't. And they were sitting around these fires, and it was just this exchange of ideas. And uh-huh. And how do we take this back into our corporations and create change within our own circles? They've got their CSR projects. Those things are all set up. This was just the cherry on top, where they were taking that money and giving it to something amazing.
Huh. Well, so, yeah, well done. Well done.
I need to go sleep and shower.
Yeah, yeah, you
maybe.
Smell revolting.
I knew I would. Ugh. Like bad. I've been around bonfires and sweat. You know, it's, you know. And I must tell you, I've driven all the way from town. I had three jackets on. I was climbing Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
And I've got thermals on and I've got three pairs of socks. My feet are still frozen. You don't understand how cold is until it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you ain't got nothing to help you. I feel very sorry for the majority of our population. And I think I'll just look at things a little bit differently today.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Brent. And well done for being one of the flag bearers of this whole event. You really are our good guy for all the right reasons. And you prove that every day when you do things like this. I can tell, I think everybody can tell, you really care about these things, which is why we know that you're the guy to make the change as well.
Thank you. I'm going to go and sleep. No one contact me for the rest of the day.
Yeah, please. Don't talk to Brent. He doesn't want to know, but he will probably be drunk somewhere tomorrow. Right?
100%.
Balance.
I mean, on the bridge, there was no alcohol whatsoever. So yeah. It was all about reflection and sort of doing.
I was going to smuggle something in for you, but I changed my mind. I thought I'm not going to.
You know what, Gareth? Yeah. Actually, you did the right thing.
All right. Well done for the show last night, too, by the way.
Thank you. Did you listen?
I did. I was on it, remember, with you. But I was listening on the way to and fro because I went to our sympathy sleepout afterwards.
It's the first time that I've done a live broadcast, and it was a full 2 hour show.
It was good, Brent. We're all listening.
Thanks, Ben.
It really was good.
Did you hear when I said I was going to steal your sports spot?
Yeah, you did. And then you said you were joking.
I was just kidding. I'd never do that.
All right, listen. We could talk about this some more, and we will. But Brent needs to go and get some sleep. Right now, it's time for Flax's submission for Thug Week. You want to explain this?
Please roll up your windows. There's about to be a drive-by shooting. Pull your kids inside because they're selling crack on the street. This is the Thug Week song.
Wow, what a tough start.
Give it a second, Ben. Here it is, Flax's submission for Thug Week.
I got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes. CliffCentral.com.